Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company. I'm Gary Moore. On today's program.
And he comes from a family like that. His dad was a racist, so it runs in his blood.
NAACP voting rights advocate Jackie Petty talks about the political ramifications of former President Trump's trials and campaign rhetoric. Also,
you know, Gary said COVID-19 is back, but the truth is it never went anywhere.
Christian McKinney and Jovan Matthews from the Peoria City County Health Department stopped by the studio to talk about your health in this COVID, flu, RSV season, and some hope for the future with regard to homicides. But first, my conversation with voting rights advocate Jackie Petty. We started our conversation talking about the victory that Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss won in Georgia, two election workers who were defamed by Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani, of course, ordered to pay $148 million to these two black women.
That is tremendous. I agree with that. But they'll never get their money, right?
Yeah.
He's broke. Or so they say.
And you know, they filed another defamation lawsuit against him because even after the trial was over and he was ordered to pay $148 million, he still went outside the courtroom and started doubling down on what he had said earlier. So they have filed another lawsuit asking.
That's wonderful. Yes, I heard that. I knew that. That's great. Well, how come they can't do some of that with Trump?
Well, that gets into the bigger question. Let's talk about Trump. It's kind of a mixed bag of things that have happened this past week, and I'm curious to get your reaction. On the one hand, you have the Supreme Court saying that it will not rule on Jack Smith, the special counsel's request to have a ruling as to whether or not Trump has absolute immunity until after the March primary. The Trump team could probably count that as a victory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so expound on that. You think that's a victory for the Trump team?
Sure it is. He's on the ballot. He gets on the primary ballot, right?
Right.
So I think that is a tremendous victory for them. And I think it's just going to keep going like that, too, for him. It seems that he can get by with everything he does. And, you know, they're saying because he was president. But he was doing that before he was president. He was getting by with everything that he wanted to say and do. So what's the difference?
And you're not too optimistic that the Colorado Supreme Court case will hold when it gets to the appeals process or the Supreme Court?
No, I don't think it'll hold, but I think it was great that they did what they did. That tells him something, but it doesn't matter to him, you know. No, I don't think that'll hold. And I don't know why it wouldn't.
Yeah, let's back up a little bit so our listeners are clear on what we're talking about. The Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Trump basically is not fit to be on the ballot because he engaged in an act of insurrection mm-hmm. by the comments he made on January 6th and encouraging the people to storm the Capitol and by his election interference efforts. The vote was 4-3. And that meant that he would be off the ballot for the March primary. However, political analysts and legal experts are saying that chances are this won't survive the appeals process or the Supreme Court.
Right.
But you're saying the merits of that case are in your opinion, pretty strong, and it should hold.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I feel that. And it says it right in the 14th Amendment, doesn't it? I mean, it really kind of spells it out. I think the thing, how he gets by with that insurrection situation is he didn't go there. As he stated that he was going to lead them there to the Capitol, and I think that's the part that they're hanging on to. He was not seen there. But Gary, something else has come up where they have a recording of him talking to the people in Detroit.
In Wayne County, Michigan, you're right, they are now discovering, just as he did in Georgia, where he called the Secretary of State and said, I need 11,780 votes or whatever, and was basically pressuring the election folks there to reverse the numbers. He made a similar phone call to Wayne County, Michigan, and pressured two election workers there who at first didn't certify. Then they certified, and then I guess he put in a phone call and they attempted to reverse the certification, but it was too late. So what does all that say to you?
It says to me that Donald Trump is above the law. No matter what he does or says is okay. He's above us. And we have some sick people that, I heard some lady on television saying he's doing God's work. Now that to me is sick. That is truly sick. There's nothing godly about Trump. Nothing. So it's just it's a deterrent for me, really. I have a hard time watching television and watching the news because it's just unreal what he gets by with.
Yeah,
they still love him. And to me, he stacked the Supreme Court, you know, in his favor. And that happened the whole time he was in there. And you know what I don't understand? I don't understand why Biden doesn't add to the courts. I just don't understand that because he has every right to do that.
Well, but there are no vacancies now on the Supreme Court. There were three vacancies that came open with Trump.
Right. But he can add to it. He can make an addition, is what I understand, to the Supreme Court. Now, I know he can't do that by himself, or I wouldn't think he could, but he should at least be trying to do that.
And that would accomplish what for you?
I feel that it would be a little more justice, or justice period, with that evened out. I think it would help. I really do.
With all the court cases that Trump is facing, you would think that he would be politically wounded. And yet,
it's helped him.
It has helped him politically. Mm-hmm. How are you processing that? What does that tell you about the country we live in?
It's pathetic, and it tells me that there are people that will say and do anything to back this man. And I think Gary, this is me. I think it all boils down to frightened people that they are going to be, in a very few years, the minority, and people of color are going to be the majority, and they just can't handle that. And this man came along, and he feels the same way as they did, and he says it, and he gets by with it, and they love him. They actually love this guy. And it doesn't matter what he says or does. He's doing God's work. And that's keeping them over us. And that's just my feeling.
Well, I don't think it's just your feeling. I think the issue of white grievance and Trump scratching an itch for white Americans who feel insecure. You know, there are books that are written about white fragility, white mm-hmm. people's fear of being the minority. And think about the fact that he just recently paraphrased Hitler.
Right.
In saying immigrants are poisoning the blood of America and specifically mentioned Africa and Asia. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
That he's a racist. And I had heard him say before that we should take no immigrants into this country unless they were coming from Norwegian, Sweden, or places like that. And so it didn't shock me that he said that. Made that statement. Nothing he says, Gary, really shocks me. Nothing. Because I'm used to it, and as all of us are, he can say and do anything he wishes. He loves Putin and the China president and Hitler. So, and he comes from a family like that. His dad was a racist. So, it runs in his blood.
So where does that leave us and our community in terms of next year's election? You've been on the front lines for years. With a cattle prod trying to get black people to vote. And people do turn out in greater numbers for presidential elections, but still not in the numbers that anybody would like. It's always a worry. It's always a concern in terms of, are people paying attention? Do they care? Are they persuaded by idle things? I was looking online one day and saw where there were some black people talking about how they were going to vote for Trump because he gave them a COVID check, you know, something like that. And
ignorance. Yeah, that hurts us. Ignorance help really hurts us, you know. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to still be out there trying to get those people that you just mentioned to change their minds and vote. Now, I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're going to try to get through to them and let them know that everything is on the line, and it really is. And I still have run across people that don't care. Until something happens to them and it affects them. And we can't get that far. You know, we've got to turn some people around. And I don't know how we're going to do it. But we've got to. We've got to have everybody fighting the fight, all hands on deck. To do this job.
Jackie Petty, thank you for your perspective.
Thank you for calling. I'll talk to you later.
As we wind down the year, one of the big stories that came out of 2023 was the health department and the CDC categorizing homicide as a health issue. Christian McKinney and Jovan Matthews from the Peoria City County Health Department stopped by our studio at first to talk about COVID, the flu, and RSV. We eventually ended up talking about homicide and social determinants of health. First, our conversation about not a double whammy, but a triple whammy when it comes to our health. You have COVID-19 is back. It is the flu season, and there is RSV, and it's all hitting us around the holiday season. And so, Christian, we are really in a bad spot because people are traveling, families are getting together, people are congregating, people are out shopping, everybody's coughing and sneezing and hacking and wheezing.
Absolutely.
And so you want to make sure that people do as much as they can to stay healthy.
Right. So, of course, every time you're protecting yourself, you're not just protecting yourself. You're protecting folks around you as well. But funny thing is, you know, Gary said COVID-19 is back, but the truth is it never went anywhere. And it's just, you know, taking its spike because the flu comes and goes through the seasonal things as well. And we did notice during the pandemic that there was a spike during this time anyway, just because there's so much other things going on with the weather that impact our immune system and things like that. So, yeah, we got all those three things, and we just got to make sure we protect ourselves so we can make it to 2024.
How do we know the difference? What's the difference between a cold, the flu, COVID, and RSV?
Honestly, it's really hard to kind of tell the difference nowadays. COVID and the flu, they have very similar symptoms. One of the for sure ways that people detect if they have COVID over the flu is to take a COVID test, whether you go to a professional, the doctor, your local pharmacy, or just buy a local test at your local Walgreens. That's one of the for sure ways you can find out if you have COVID. Otherwise, best case, you can just stay at home regardless, mask up, avoiding people, and just making sure that you're taking care of yourself at home. That's one of the best ways you can do it.
Who's more susceptible? People with compromised immune systems, of course, the elderly, young people, anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, people who are usually outside and with people day-to-day contact. I mean, you know, I'm neither elderly nor really susceptible to a lot of things, but I'm talking to people every day. I'm meeting people every day. And so I'm one of those people who are prone to COVID and the flu just like everyone else.
Should we be wearing masks again?
You know, that all depends if you are seeing yourself as one of those people who are susceptible and if you're taking care of yourself, really. I see myself as a person who, you know, I try to go to the gym, I try to eat healthy, I try to making sure I know I'm good right when I wake up. If, you know, you wake up and you're not feeling the best, you stay home, check yourself out, making sure you test yourself. And if you're not feeling good, then, yeah, just stay home.
And I can imagine when you go to the gym, you always wipe down the equipment and the weights and all of that, right?
Yep. They still have signs at the gym. Every gym I go to, I've been to a few here in Peoria. They always make sure that you're wiping down material, wiping down your bench, because obviously you don't want sweat on there.
Which is just good practice for sweat. Yeah. We don't even got to think about it's good respiratory practice disease. You don't want to sit in somebody's sweat.
Right.
Exactly.
So, Christian, if you get the vaccine, can you get one and another at the same time? I mean, can I go and they just shoot me up three times? Give me the COVID, give me the flu, give me the RSV vaccine all in one sore arm.
Yeah, absolutely. So they do it a little different. I have personal experience on this. So I did the cocktail, you know, as they like to call it, where you get multiple vaccines at once. So I did RSV, flu, and COVID-19 because I had a conference that I had to go to and I had to have COVID-19. I was like, I'm gonna get all of them at once because I don't want to have to keep running to Walgreens. So CDC says it's fine. The only thing that you can expect is that all the symptoms will kind of like, if there are, they'll be there. So, I mean, you'll probably, depending on what that is and the severity of how symptoms go, because it's a person-to-person thing, some people got a lot of symptoms from the COVID vaccine. Some people felt nothing and were just fine. So it's really, know yourself and how you usually react to vaccines, but I definitely would plan on having a sore shoulder.
You mentioned something earlier. You said COVID never really left, which gets into the future. So COVID will always be with us. COVID is the new flu, I've heard some people say.
Well, we truly don't know. So like polio, we didn't know, but then we eradicated it with the vaccine, right? But then that means everybody's getting the vaccine. So there's a lot of complexities there. If you kill off something completely or build up immunity to it completely, it can't thrive, right? Just how evolution works, to survival of the fittest. Right now, COVID is still fit and thriving and getting people sick and still being able to pass through us because of multiple reasons. A vaccine isn't perfect either, you know? You can still get it. You just, the severity of your symptoms goes down. So that's kind of, there's just a lot there, you know? The pandemic came and went, really, and we still are dealing with the repercussions of a pandemic that we weren't prepared for.
Dan, when you talk about complexities, sadly, the whole issue of the vaccine was politicized. And there was a movement in the country against people getting the vaccine. There was a lot of mythology that was spread about what the vaccine would do to people. It would turn you into a monkey and, you know, all this other kind of crazy stuff. And then you had, unfortunately, in the African-American community, a lot of people bought into some of that. And for whatever reason, a lot of people didn't get the vaccine, and Black people disproportionately were impacted by COVID, partly because of pre-existing health conditions, diabetes, high blood pressure, et cetera.
Right, and social determinants of health.
Talk to me about social determinants of health, because we hear that term a lot, but I'm not sure we're clear on what it means.
Yeah, for sure. So the social determinants of health are circumstances or things that a person can't really control a whole lot. Like, they're born into this. So like your environment, the community, like if you're born in 61605, you didn't control that it's a food desert. So that is a determinant of health. Or if your parents have unstable housing and you were born into unstable housing, that's a social determinant of health that you didn't choose to be born into, but that does impact your health. And it's not like your housing is not like, oh, buy a house for healthcare. Completely unrelated on marketing, but it does have health impact. So that stretches around to potholes on the road, messing up your car and can hurt your neck, right? It's just basically a way to explain how public health is literally everywhere and is embedded in every part of society.
And for African Americans who, unfortunately, in many communities, live in areas that have been disenfranchised, marginalized, some people use the term disinvested.
Yes.
Then there's a disparity with regard to health. How can we change that? Big question, right? Mm-hmm. Let's take a stab at it. Let's see if we could hack away at this sequoia. What are some of the ways that we can bring about equity in health?
Yeah, actually, our office works a lot, specifically with our supervisor. She works a lot with health equity, making sure that, you know, we're meeting people, especially where they're at. Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that we can tackle when it comes to health equity is to... One of the big things, at least for me, when I'm doing my work as a community health worker, is talking to these people and making sure they know what's going on. You know, education is a huge piece. You know, you can't do anything about it if you don't know about it. And so giving these people information, doing presentations, talking with anybody, any resources that they go to, where populations go to. For example, I work a lot with refugees, immigrants, and migrants. And they go to a lot of resource centers and community centers. And so I go to these community centers, give them information regarding anything, for example, like the flu, COVID or RSV, and making sure that they're well informed so that they can teach these people, or I can do it myself if they contact me. So
education is important, or mm-hmm. information.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Information is very important.
You want to add to that?
Absolutely. So really, at the bottom of it all, or the root of it all, you could just ask what they need. You know, a lot of times we just think we know, when we could just ask. And even with the social determinants of health accelerator plan that we created, that was like a big piece, is asking who we're trying to serve, what is it that you feel needs to be improved? Forget a statistic, forget data, forget all of that. What is it that you feel is holding you back every day? What is it that you feel that when you go outside and you look around in the community that you live in, you grew up in, and not somebody that's from Danville, Illinois that just got here 2 years ago is telling you, what is that that you think?
You've been talking to some people for a year or so. You've been making the rounds. You've had some community meetings.
Yeah, and that's equity to me, because equality is giving everybody the same thing. Equity is giving everybody what they need. So if you have that picture, that wonderful picture or illustration where there's a fence and you got the boxes. You got the tall man that doesn't really need a box, but you know, if we give everybody a box, then everybody still can't see. So you have the little kids and everything. You got to give them more boxes so they can get there. So we realize that some people need more than others. And if we can just knock our pride down and be okay with helping everyone, and I think we can get in a good spot. Because if we help the lowest in any statistic, if we bring that up with anything, the higher is going to make the higher average higher. If it's test scores, if it's health, if it's, you know, diet and all of that good stuff, or if it's just mental health, whatever it is, if you help the lowest, the people that the outliers on the bottom, it'll increase the statistics in a positive way every single time.
Statistics, unfortunately, as it relates to crime, have not been good over the last few years. When you talk about social determinants of health, particularly in the African American community, the number one cause of death for black males between the age, 15 and 24 is homicide. We've had record numbers of homicides the last few years. I know a couple of years ago we broke a record, and this year we had more than 20 or so homicides. Talk to me about how we can make a dent in that area. I know the health department looks at murder and homicide as a health issue.
Yeah, public health issue. The CDC and Cure Violence, a lot of people do now, because it spreads very similar to how COVID spread. You know, because there's revenge, and that revenge creates more revenge. And sometimes it doesn't create revenge. Sometimes it creates trauma from loss. And that creates a whole nother slew of issues. And there's just so much that's there. And it's really complex. We like to call it the pair of aces tree, where you have adverse community experiences sandwiching you, and then you have adverse childhood experiences sandwiching you. And now you got all of these things that are just immobilizing you and leaving you stuck in a way or a mindset or something that is something to you that you're thriving in. And you don't see the full issue. And of course, we could take accountability into play, but what do we do to prep? Like, what actually caused that? Instead of like, this is the issue we're at right now, like with the health department, we're at the final level of it, at the source. But what can other folks do on the primary and secondary level of prevention to avoid it from happening to the next generation?
Are we getting there in terms of understanding it putting some plans in place? Are you seeing our community putting some things in place at the prevention level?
Yes. I mean, there's a safety network where we just, you know, awarded House of Hope for the Cure Violence implementation in the South Side to pilot the program to show Peoria it works, because that was a battle in itself. Because there's so many people on every level like, oh, we don't really know about all that, or we are at the source of that and we need it now. And there's just so many things that Peoria is going through that everything can't be a priority, and we understand that. But, you know, I definitely think with all of that pushback and non-progress, we have all of these grassroots that are like, we're tired of asking. We're just going to do it. And it's been beautiful to see. And I'm excited for what 2024 will bring. And I'm excited to get ahead of the ice cream cell and homicide conundrum that we all, and the causal versus all that good stuff effect that we studied in math. So I'm excited to see how it goes. I'm not excited to see where we're not, where we can improve, but I'm excited to improve just because.
You're hopeful.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful. I'm glad that we got it and we have the support and we have the financial support, you know? That's big because it costs money. Yeah. But when you compare that to how much a life cost, it's nothing how much money that's going on. You know, a life is so expensive for death and all of that. So if we want to look at it in a finance aspect, we don't even got to worry about, because everybody don't got a heart for it. We can worry about that. There's so many aspects that we can work together on this to view it.
Yeah, our 14-year-olds' lives are priceless. Mm-hmm.
100%. 100%.
Christian McKinney and Jovan Matthews with the Peoria City County Health Department encouraging you to get your COVID, flu, and RSV shots and giving us some hope for the new year in terms of our community making a dent in the crime problem. And hopefully we will see some better outcomes when it comes to violence. Gentlemen, thanks for stopping by the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company for WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.